Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, where we're taught the following: Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish v'chein Tana Mishmei de Rav Yosi. La'olam ayiftach adam piv l'satan. A person has to be very careful, very wary with the way they use their mouth, because sometimes we say things and we open up, so to speak, a Pandora's box for the satan to have a great time and destroy our lives. This is something that is reiterated in the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches, in Ksubas Daf Samach Beis. In a number of places, the Gemara has in Bab Metzia as well the following phrase: Kishagaga yatsa milifnei hashalit. The same way, if you have a ruler, when you have a monarch, when you have a king, who gets up and makes a mistake, but he decrees that this activity should be done, that this decree should be followed through, whether or not he made the right decision, they listen to him immediately, and that's what happens. So too, the Gemara mentions that sometimes we say things, and Kishagaga yatsa milifnei hashalit. We should consider ourselves sometimes, like we are the monarch, like we are the king, and our words are going to be listened to immediately, even though sometimes we may have said the wrong thing. That's what the Gemara says by Choni HaMa'agel as well. He was davening for rain. He wanted to bring about a particular result for his generation. And it says on him, Vatigzar Omer, when you make a gzera, when you make a decree, when you ask for something, Choni HaMa'agel, Vayakam Lach, God will listen to you, and that's what's going to happen because of the decree that you, so to speak, made. This is what the Gemara says in Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches. Avraham Avinu is on his way to go to the Akedah. And what does he tell his servant? He tells Yishmael and Eliezer they should stay behind. His son and his servant should stay behind. He's going to go ahead with his other son, with Yitzchak. And he says, V'nishtachaveh, we will bow down. V'nashuva aleichem, we will both come back and greet you here. So what do you mean, V'nashuva? We, plural, will come back to greet you. Don't you know, Avraham Avinu, you were asked to sacrifice your son? That means you're only going to come back in the singular. Yitzchak Avinu is not going to return with you. But there says the Gemara that from the fact that Avraham Avinu said from the outset, Vinashuva, we, plural, will come back and greet you again, that's why Yitzchak Avinu didn't end up getting slaughtered, and that's why in the end, Avraham Avinu was able to come back together with his son Yitzchak. What you see from here is that words have a very serious and significant consequence. Words have great repercussions. Here the Gemara says it's in the positive. Avraham Avinu comes back with his son, but you find that it goes in the negative as well. The Vilna Gaon points out a very astute observation. From the time of Parshas Shemos through the end of the Torah, meaning Parshas Shemos was a very important Parsha because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was born until Sefer Dvarim, until Parshas Vezos HaBracha, every single Parsha Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned except for one. What is the one parsha where he's not mentioned? Says the Vilna Gaon, if you'll notice, it's Parshas Tetzaveh. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu's name shows up, it appears, in every other parsha in the Torah except for the parsha of Tetzaveh? So explains the Vilna Gaon two reasons. Number one, because Tetzaveh falls out every year on the week of the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tetzaveh is the parsha that we read on the week of Zayin Adar, and therefore we leave it out, so to speak, to say that we're missing something, that Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer alive. But secondly, says the Vilna Gaon, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is left out of Parshas Tetzaveh is because that is the parsha in which Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Macheni na misifrecha, I want you to erase my name from your Torah asher kasavta that you wrote." When he's petitioning on behalf of the Jewish people and he's asking that the Jewish people should be saved, they should not be destroyed, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you don't save the Jewish people, if you don't keep them alive, if you don't keep them going, you may as well erase my name. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu says such a thing, and therefore, once Moshe Rabbeinu says it, his name gets erased from the next parsha, from Parshas Tetzaveh, even though that's not at all what he had in mind, even though that's not at all the condition that he made with the Ribono Shel Olam. It was only, if you don't destroy them, then I want to be erased from your Torah. But still, once Moshe Rabbeinu said it, the Gemara says, Kilel as chacham afila al tanai. When a chacham gives somebody a curse, even if it's with some sort of provision, some sort of deal, still, those words are taken very seriously, and sometimes those come into effect, even though it's not at all what the Chacham had in mind. So you have in Parshas Vayigash, interestingly, Yaakov Avinu says to Paro, he has a conversation with Paro when he comes down to Mitzrayim. So Yaakov Avinu is asked, how old are you? So he says, well, I'm an old man. Ma'at v'roim hayu imei shnei chayai. I didn't have such a good life. So the Medrash there points out, God has a taina in Yaakov Avinu. When you speak to me, when you address me, you say, oh, katonti mikol hachasadim, you gave me such a wonderful life, everything's great. All of a sudden you're talking to somebody else and you say, ma'at, hayu, yimei shnei chayai, I had a terrible life. What is this? What's the double standard? How come you're not the same thing that you would say to me? Now that's not what you're presenting to Paro. And because of that, because of the 33 words that Yaakov Avinu says in his conversation with Paro, and he suggests that his life was not so positive, it was not so great, Because of that, says the Medrash, 33 years of Yaakov Avinu's life were taken away from him, because those words make a tremendous impact. They make a great impression, and sometimes that could go even negatively. Like the Gemara says, by Avraham Avinu it worked in the positive direction, but here it worked, unfortunately, in the negative direction and had the opposite effect. You look in our Parsha, and in our Parsha we read a lot about the interactions between Yaakov Avinu and Lavan, his father-in-law. So Lavan obviously tricks Yaakov Avinu and he tells him he's going to give him Rachel and he gives him Leah. And in the end, Yaakov has a lot of children both from Rachel and from Leah. He now has the 12 Shvatim. Later on, when we learn that Yaakov Avinu is ready to run away from his father-in-law, he had enough living with this Ramai, with this crook, with this criminal, he starts to run away. Rachel, as we know, steals the Avodah Zarah from her father's house, from Lavan's house, and now Lavan goes running after his children. He says, what is this? Who took the Trophim? Who stole from my house? Yaakov Avinu says the following, Im asher timatze yaselokecha lo yichya. If you shall find those things that you're missing from your house, you think somebody stole it, I guarantee you nobody stole it. And if somebody did, lo yichya, their lives will be cut short. They will not live. And because of that, I mean, the Pasuk said, Yaakov had no idea that it was his wife who stole them. He had no idea that it was his beloved wife, Rachel Imenu, who took them away because she didn't want her father to serve Avodah Zarah, which again is a question in and of itself, the Acharonim talk about. Do I have a right to steal something from somebody if I know I'm going to save them from doing an Aver? So let's say somebody has a pack of cigarettes and all the Acharonim nowadays agree, you're not allowed to smoke cigarettes. We know that it's not healthy. So am I allowed to go ahead and steal somebody's cigarettes, not for myself, steal them to throw them out because I know that I'm going to save you not only from an Aver, but I'm going to save you from destroying your lungs. Or you take, for example, sometimes, let's say when I was in yeshiva, he had a boy who snuck something into the dorms that he shouldn't have had. Back in our days, it was a magazine. Nowadays, you don't need the magazine. Now you have other ways of finding those things. Are other people who know about it, who are aware, are they allowed to steal the material and throw it out? Not for themselves, not for their own pleasure, but they're going to throw it out to save the other person from violating another. So the Beis Yitzchak and other Acharonim discussed, maybe you should bring a proof from the fact that Rachel Imenu goes ahead and steals. She violates the Avera of Lo Signov to steal the Avodah Zarah from her father. She has good intentions, but bottom line, she's violating the Avera of stealing. Either way, what we find here is that Yaakov Avinu presumptuously says, anybody who is found to be the one who's responsible for stealing from you will lose their life. And because of that, Rashi says, Me'osa klala mesa Rachel baderech. Because of that, Rachel dies earlier than expected. Rachel dies along the way because her husband, Yaakov Avinu, gave a curse that who will find the Avodah Zarah in their bag, he or she should be the one that will lose their life, and because of that, she lost her life earlier. You see the capacity, you see the dynamism that words have, and you see, even though Yaakov Avinu had no intention at all to take away the life of his wife, Rachel, that's not at all what he had in mind, and he actually had no idea what really happened. He didn't know why she did it, he didn't know that she did it at all. But still, the words have a tremendous impact, they have a tremendous impression, and this is something we need to be very careful about. In another couple of parshas, we read in Parshas Vayigash, that when all the brothers are going to negotiate with Paro Melech Mitzrayim, they don't realize that it's Yosef, but they're going down after the Mechiras Yosef, and they want to go and negotiate with him, so one of the negotiating points is, Paro Melech Mitzrayim says, you have to bring your younger brother. They go back to Yaakov, they tell him we have to bring Binyamin down, Yaakov Avinu says, absolutely not, that's not going to happen. And Yehuda puts himself out in the line. Yehuda says, don't worry about it. If I don't bring him back, v'chatasi lecha kala yamim, don't worry about it. I take it upon myself. It's my responsibility. If I don't bring Binyamin back, it's going to be my problem. I will be considered somebody who is a Baal Avera for the rest of my life. I have sinned to my father Yaakov Avinu. Now, in the end, obviously it wasn't really Yehuda's fault. And in the end, he really did bring him back. But it wasn't exactly the way he had said. And he already had said it from his mouth, V'chatasi lecha kala yamim, says the Gemara Bava Kama, as a result of those presumptuous words that Yehuda said, he wasn't careful the way he spoke, because of that it says after he passed away, he wasn't allowed into Gan Eden. Yehuda was not allowed into Gan Eden because he said, I want to be somebody who's called a chote for the rest of my life, and that means you're going to go down in history as the one who's a Baal Avera. You're not going to be let into Gan Eden. Not only that, the Medrash says, the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu offers a tefillah, he says, come on! Yehuda is the one who saved the whole Jewish people. Yehuda didn't do this because he was so arrogant. He did it because he realized that was the only way to get what needed to be done. So that's why Yehuda did it. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu offers a tefillah on behalf of Yehuda. And because of that tefillah, now Yehuda is allowed into Masifta Dirakia. He's allowed into Gan Eden. Then the Gemara says a strange comment. The Gemara says they allow Yehuda into Gan Eden. he's listening to the shir. I don't know who gives the shir up there, but let's say it's the Ribono Shel Olam, or maybe it's Rabbi Akiva Eiger, or maybe it's the Vilna Gaon, whoever it was. Actually, this is in times of Yehuda, so it's probably Avraham Avinu is giving the shir. I don't know. So it says that Yehuda is now allowed into Gan Eden, and he doesn't understand the shir. He doesn't understand the shir. So they let him in, and he's sitting there like a fool. He doesn't know what's happening. He can't follow along. He doesn't understand what's going on, the back and the forth. He can't get involved. And Yehuda's Mispali says, get me out of here. What do I want to be here for? Till Moshe offers a tefillah, and he says, it's not good enough to let Yehuda into Gan Eden. Now you have to allow him to participate in the conversation and learning as well. What kind of reward is that to let him in, but not to allow him to understand what's happening? What you see is, even though Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba, we might all have a place in Olam Haba, we might all get into Gan Eden, but who said we're all going to have the great merit of understanding what's going on up there? That might be the greatest punishment. Imagine you sit through a shiur sometimes, and it's a shiur that you don't understand at all, and it's a pain in the neck, the speaker is not interested, but you can't leave. You have too much respect, you can't leave. So there's nothing more painful than that, sitting through a shiur that you don't understand, that you're not interested in being at, that you got stuck in, you didn't sign up for that speaker. So now you're going to be in pain sitting through the hour of that speaker. Well, that's the same over there. You might get into Gan Eden, but that's a very painful experience if you don't know what's happening, and you have Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Vilna Gaon giving shiur, and you don't know what's flying. That's going to be a very painful thing. But either way, what you see is, says the Gemara, this all happened as a result of the wording that was chosen by Yehuda. He wasn't careful with the words that he chose, and because of that, he ended up suffering. The Gemara has stories about this as well. The Gemara shares one story in particular in Moed Katan. Very strange story. The Gemara says there was a disagreement between two brothers. Shmuel, the famous Shmuel in the Gemara, had a brother by the name of Pinchas. So Shmuel and Pinchas were brothers. Pinchas happened to be sitting Shiva once for one of his relatives. So Shmuel comes to be Menachem Avil. He comes to check up on his brother, how he's doing. And while he's visiting there, he says to him, how come your fingernails are so long? How come you haven't cut your nails? So he says to him, well, I'm in the middle of Avelis. Of course I don't cut my fingernails. So Shmuel says, if you would listen to my opinion, I feel it's mutter. I feel you're allowed to cut nails in the middle of Shiva. So Pinchas says back to his brother Shmuel, if you were the one sitting Shiva, you wouldn't say that. If you were the one sitting Shiva, you also wouldn't cut your fingernails. You would feel the avelis, you would feel the pain. The Gemara says he left the house of his brother, and because his brother said that to him, he ended up having a bad mazel, and he ended up the following week sitting Shiva for a relative of his. Again, did his brother have in mind at all to destroy his life? Did his brother have in mind to kill one of his relatives? Of course not. But because he wasn't careful with the way he spoke, because of that, the Gemara records that a terrible tragedy came about. We have to be so careful with the way we speak. And this is why the Ramban points out in another couple of parshios, when we have Yaakov Avinu, who, again, as we mentioned, made a mistake, so to speak, if we can say such a thing, Yaakov Avinu, his words were taken very seriously by Rachel, and that's why his wife passed away. That's what Rashi tells us on Chumash. But Yaakov Avinu, when he's having the encounter with Esav later on in life, and Esav says, why don't we all go together? Why don't we all travel together and we'll all go to live in the same place? And Yaakov Avinu says, no, umesu kalatzon. I don't want to go with you because if I travel too quickly, all the sheep are going to die. So the Ramban says, why doesn't Yaakov Avinu say, all my children are going to die, all my family is going to die, they won't be able to handle it? No, so Yaakov learned his lesson. He says, I'm not even going to take the risk, I'm not going to take the chance, the Ramban points out. Yaakov Avinu here says, maybe my animals will die. He's not willing to say that his family is going to suffer because he doesn't want to say that. Maybe his family will suffer. So because of that, Yaakov is careful and he doesn't want to say anything that maybe would hint to the fact that something tragic might happen to his family later on. Well, if that's the case, why is it that we find later on Yaakov Avinu meets up with his son Yosef after all those years of not knowing what was the story with his son? So what happens? He encounters his son and he says, Amusa hapam! Now I can die because now I see my son, and now acharei ra'osias panecha ki ot chachai. Now that I see that you're still alive, now I can die. Now I'm fulfilled. How do you say such a thing, Yaakov? Didn't you learn in your life you're not allowed to do that? Didn't you learn from the mistake you made by Rachel that she passed away as a result of your words? So the Maril Diskin asks in his commentary on Chumash, how come Yaakov Avinu falls in here? How come Yaakov Avinu is not afraid? Listen to a brilliant insight of the Maril Diskin. Everything he says is brilliant, but here's just another example. Maril Diskin suggests, you know what the difference was? Rashi tells us from the Medrash, what happened on that occasion was, Yaakov Avinu is reciting Kriya Shema. He's reciting Kriya Shema. So Yaakov Avinu is faced with a problem. In Kriya Shema, we're supposed to say, Bechol Nafshecha. That's one of the words in Kriya Shema. When you say Bechol Nafshecha, the Gemara says, you should have in mind, Afilu Notelas Nafshecha. I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh. I'm willing to give up my life in the service of God. Well, Yaakov Avinu says to himself, all these years, when I thought my son was not alive, I was not willing to give up my life for the service of God. Why? Because God promised me I'm going to have 12 Shvatim. God said that's the only way we're going to have a perfect world is if you bring the 12 Shvatim into the world, and one of them is not here. So I'm not willing to stop my life yet because I really have not fulfilled my mission that God had set out for me to do. And therefore, now when Yaakov Avinu meets up with his son, he says, Amusa hapam, now that I say Kriya Shema for the first time, and I see that all my 12 sons are here, and I see I have fulfilled my mission and I've done everything God wants for me to do in this world, now he says I can say the words B'chol Nafshecha with a full heart. Now I'm ready, Amusa hapam, now I would be willing to be Moser Nefesh for you, because now I see I've fulfilled my mission, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Beautiful insight of the Maral Diskin. It gives a little bit of an insight as to why Yaakov Avinu was not afraid in that situation, whereas we find throughout Chumash he does have issues with the wording that he says. But here, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman points out that he finds all these stories very difficult. If we say every day in Ashrei, Ritzon Yireh of Yaseh, which means God does that which his Yirei Shamayim, those who follow him, those who fear him, he does what they want. Is this what they want? Is this what Yaakov wanted, that his wife should die? Is this what all the tzaddikim wanted, that the brother should die when he was sitting Shiva? What is this? How come we find that the Ribbono Shel Olam is violating his own principle? And here says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, perhaps the answer is that you're right. It's not just that when words are said, God listens to them. It's that when words are said, it actually makes a direct transformation into the physical world. So here, even though it might not be what Yaakov Avinu intended, it might not be what he had in mind, it's not what a tzaddik wants when they say something wrong and they don't choose words carefully, but still, it makes a difference into the existence, into the reality that we live, into the physical world that we live, and therefore, there's no taking that back. Once you say the words, it's out there. Once it's out there, something really can happen as a result, because it makes a tremendous impact on the world that we live in. This is what Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz, will close with this, Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz writes, and he warns us, in his Drashos Yaris Devash, he says, Kol diber sheyotze mipi ha'adam osa roshim. Person has to recognize the fact that every word that we say makes a roshim, it makes an impact, it makes an impression on the world. Ubavanoseinu harabim, he says, unfortunately in our days, now he's talking in the 1600s, the 1700s, a long time ago, but he says, Ubavanoseinu harabim adam mefatbet kalayom bedvarim. We go around, we talk freely, we don't think about what we're saying, we're not careful. Ve'eno margish shebechal davar osa roshim. We don't realize that both in the positive and in the negative, our words have tremendous consequences. And this, says Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz, is something to take into very serious account, because when you consider all that took place throughout the pages of Chumash, that Rashi quotes all over the place, as we mentioned, when you consider what the Gemara says in Marikatan and in other places as well, Kishigaga Yatza Milifnei HaShalat, that sometimes you have a word that somebody didn't mean, but sometimes it comes into effect for positive or for negative. This is something that Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz warns us we have to be very, very careful, because sometimes we don't realize that the Dvarim actually make a serious roshim. They make a real impression, a real impact into the physical world, and it's something we have to be very, very careful about.